You know, the ultimate example, right, of Jesus coming down and dying on the cross for us. That's his love for you. That's his love for me. And Alex mentioned this last week, but in Hebrews 12, it says that he did it joyfully. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And this is a powerful statement because it reveals just how much he loves us. You know, and this type of love could only be described as the word hesed, which is the second topic in our series of being known and loved. So we have joy, hesed, group identity, and maturity. And this morning we're going to be studying out what it means to have this hesed love. And this word, it appears roughly 245 times throughout the Old Testament. And usually it's used to describe God and his character, his love for us. And this word hesed, it's so much deeper than our American view of the word love. You will say things like, I love the Patriots, or I love ice cream. And while I really like these things, and I do find joy in these things, I don't actually have a relationship with them. You know, this word hesed, it's defined as having a love that stays. It's steadfast, unfailing love. It's a loyal love, a covenantal loyalty, a love that's filled with kindness, goodness, and mercy. And as you can see from these definitions, it's so much more than just a feeling, but it's an action. You know, it's something that's both seen and experienced. It's faithful. It's reliable. And as I was prepping for this sermon, I came across a quote describing this word hesed. And it says, it intervenes on behalf of loved ones and comes to their rescue. And it just made me think about God. He is the one who intervenes on our behalf because of his love. You know, he comes to our rescue time and time again. And the same is true in the scriptures. God is a God who rescues. That's why Jesus came down and died on the cross. He came to rescue us, just like the Good Shepherd does. You know, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. He will never leave us or forsake us as we walk through the hills and the valleys of this life. And the title of my message this morning, as you can see, is Loved Through the Valley. You can go ahead and turn over to Psalm 23. I'll go ahead and say a prayer and then we'll dive into it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your unfailing love for each and every one of us. Lord, even just as we were singing those songs this morning, you know, all of them had to do with just your great love, your reckless love. And sometimes, Lord, we can hear this phrase that you love us and we can forget how deep it really runs. And I pray that each of us this morning can walk away just feeling just encouraged and inspired by you. Lord, I pray that you speak through me. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 23, picking up in verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love and hesed will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, we know that life is filled with highs and lows. You know, some days we will feel like the sheep in the green pasture, where life is just good. There's quiet waters. It's calm. There's a sense of peace and fulfillment and refreshment and satisfaction because we know that God is with us. You know, on the flip side, some days we will feel like we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, where we're filled with anxiety and stress, and maybe there is death around you in those moments. But the good shepherd never leaves or abandons his flock. And God will never abandon us. His love is the kind that is steadfast. It never ceases. And he promises to not just walk with us, but to guide us, to lead us, even through the valleys. So I have 2 points this morning. And the first is that we are known and loved by the shepherd. See, each of us are known and loved by God. And you see, the role of the shepherd, it's not just to protect the flock, but to know them. You know, to an outsider, your sheep will oftentimes look the same. They're roughly the same color, roughly the same size. They sound the same. But to the shepherd, he knows them by name. He knows the little markings in their coat, the birthmarks that they have. Even the sound of their voice is slightly different, and he can tell them apart. But he knows their tendencies and their behaviors, their character. But he knows all of these things because all of his time is spent with them, watching over his flock. And being a shepherd, it's a 24/7 kind of job. The only time you get a break is when another shepherd comes and takes your place. And that's not that often. You know, there's a reason why in the scriptures where we see shepherds, they're often away from their families. You know, when Samuel comes to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as king, David's not anywhere to be seen. Right? He's not even, you would think, oh, the prophet's coming. Gather the household, like, let's welcome him together. But David's off in the fields. And Samuel has to say, is this it? This is everyone? Oh, you have one more son. Go get him. And we're not even going to sit down until he arrives. But you see, a shepherd must leave his father's household and live amongst the flock. And so it only makes sense that the good shepherd would do the same for us. You know, Jesus comes down from his father's house in heaven. He gives up the throne to walk amongst us, to protect us. You know, and for centuries prior to Jesus coming, Israel had been without their shepherd. You know, they had Moses, they had David, but in the years before Christ was born, they had no one to lead them. And so when Jesus arrives on the scene, this is what he sees. In Matthew 9, 35 and 36, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You know, sheep are not the kind of animal that you can just leave alone for an extended period of time. They're vulnerable to predators, especially at night with little ways of defending themselves. They are easily harassed because they are helpless. You know, additionally, they tend to just blindly follow one another. So if you leave them alone for too long, the whole flock will wander off and be lost. You know, and while this isn't sheep, that's what happens to Saul in 1 Samuel. He's looking for his donkey's herd of donkeys because he wasn't a good shepherd. He wasn't watching over them. You know, but sheep, they also struggle to find food and water on their own, which is why they don't just need the shepherd to be with them, but to lead them to still waters, to lead them and guide them to green pastures. And because of all these things, the shepherds in the Bible, they essentially lived in the open fields. They didn't get to enjoy the comfort of eating mom's home-cooked meal. They didn't get to sleep in their bed after a long day of work. Day and night, they remained with the sheep, walking and resting with the flock. And so it's no wonder that the shepherd knows them by name. This is who God is for each and every one of us. He knows us deeply and intimately. He knows our tendencies and our character. He knows the things that we're fearful of. He knows the things that make us feel at peace. But God knows us. He is the good shepherd. And in Luke 12, Jesus even says, you know, God knows the number of hairs on your head. And he's not just talking to bald people. To each and every one of us. That's how well he knows us. You know, and as well as the shepherd knows his flock, it pales in comparison to how much God knows each and every one of us. You know, because God, he isn't just our shepherd. He's our Father. He's our Creator. He is the one who has carefully molded and shaped you to be who you are. And he looks at you, and just like he did with the rest of creation, he says, it is good. You know, Psalm 139, 13 through 16, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's how deeply you're known by God, our shepherd. But God doesn't just know us. He loves us. It's his unconditional and steadfast, loyal love, his hesed, that makes him such an amazing shepherd. You know, John 10, 11 through 15, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, the good shepherd is willing to do whatever it takes to protect his flock, even if it means laying down his life. But is this how you view God? You know, do you remember who he is and what he's done for you? Every week we take communion. It's meant to be a time of remember, but sometimes we can forget. We can get so caught up in all the things going on that we lose sight of the one who died on the cross for us. We allow the troubles and the worries and the hardships to make us forget. But in this psalm, David writes about how even as he walks through the darkest valleys, he will fear no evil. Because he knows that God is with him. He knows that God will protect him. You see, the sheep have nothing to fear when they know the shepherd is near. Right. David knows this because he knows what it means to be a good shepherd. But even more so, he knows this because he knows who God is. David, he's had his fair share of moments where he was walking through the valley of death. Danger was everywhere around his life. Constantly, people were threatening to kill him. He was on the run. Yet somehow, he seems to have this confidence about him that no matter what is going on, God would rescue him. You know, and this conviction, you know, he developed this when he was a young boy during his time as a shepherd. And we see this when he stands up to fight Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, pick him in verse 32. It says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. You see, David knows that he has nothing to fear against Goliath, because he knows that he is known and loved by God. David has experienced this hesed, the rescuing, the love that intervenes. And he recognized that although he rescued the sheep from the lion and the bear, it was really God who did the rescuing. And in verse 6 of Psalm 23, you know, David proclaims, surely your love, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Your hesed will stick with me. And like David, God has rescued each of us time and time again, whether we recognize it or not. This is why Jesus died on the cross. He died to rescue us, to free us from our sin, to pay the price that no one else could pay. What are the things that God has rescued you from this morning? Do you recognize that he did this just because he loves you? Jesus didn't have to die on the cross for us, guys. He could have allowed us to pay the price, but he loved us. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life. Furthermore, the very fact that God is a shepherd, it tells us that we are meant to be a flock. Because a flock implies more than one. It isn't just us and God going through life together. The shepherd leads his sheep as one. And while they're dependent on the shepherd for survival, they are also dependent on one another. And my second point this morning is that we need to be known and loved by the flock as well. Sheep are not solitary animals. They are meant to be found in a group, and they have a strong instinct to flock together. The same is true for the followers of Christ. We were never meant to walk through the darkest valleys alone. Sheep, they stick together. They move as one as they follow their shepherd. Not just through the lush green fields, but even through the valley of death. You know, we weren't meant to walk through the hardships of this life alone. You know, if our mindset is, well, it's just me and God going through it, then we're greatly deceived. You know, if we want to be led by the shepherd, it means that we actually need to be with the flock. Because that's where the shepherd is. The shepherd doesn't lead each sheep individually. They go together. But we live in a society that praises individualism over collectivism. You know, we're told to figure things out on our own, to be independent, to take care of ourselves. And many of us, myself included, can tend to push people away and to isolate ourselves from the flock when things get challenging. But what we're really meant to do is lean in and rely on one another. And so if you're walking through what feels like the valley of death this morning, and you just feel like, man, I'm all alone, then I want you to consider this. You know, maybe you're struggling because you aren't actually allowing yourself to be led by the shepherd. Consider that maybe you're the one that wandered off, not the 99 that stayed. You've wandered away from the shepherd's protection. And now he is a good shepherd, right? He goes after the one. He still loves them. He still protects them. But what does he do when he finds them? He brings him home. He brings him back to the flock, where he is known and loved by the shepherd and the rest of the herd. And so, just as we experience this hesed love from our shepherd, we should be experiencing that amongst one another as well. You know, God desires for us to have a love that is just in it together. You know, and we know this verse in 1 Corinthians 12, 26. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. When one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Do you allow yourself to be known and loved by the others in this room? Do you allow yourself, do you allow others to suffer with you when you're going through hardships of life? Do you allow others to rejoice with you when you're honored? When you get that job promotion, do people know? Or are you more of a lone wolf living amongst the flock? You know, sheep, they're safer when they're together. And the more sheep you have, the greater number of eyes you have looking out for predators. The same is true for us. The more people that know you, the higher the chance that someone's going to be able to see that thing in your character, to see the sin in your life, and to call it out. And that's not a bad thing. That's what keeps us safe. You know, additionally, it's much harder for a predator to attack prey when they're clumped together, when they're tight-knit. They can't lock on and pick out their prey. The strength, apart from the shepherd, is in their numbers. And in fact, when a predator is trying to hunt, what do? They pick one and they do everything they can to isolate it, to separate it from the rest of the group, because that's when they're vulnerable. That's when they're weak. And it's interesting because sheep, when they get separated from their flock, they actually start to get agitated and stressed and anxious because they know they're vulnerable and they're away from the ones that they have these deep connections with. Have you allowed yourself to be isolated from the shepherd and the flock? And if so, why? What is it that's pulling you away? You know, there's a reason why there are so many scriptures that talk about one another relationships. Because just as sheep have a personal relationship with their shepherd, our walk with God is personal. But like with the sheep, it is never individual. It is meant to be done together. John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Romans 15, 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude and mind toward each other that Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that you will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. James 5, 16. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You guys see the trend here? God doesn't just desire for us to be known and loved by Him. He wants that. But He also desires for us to be known and loved by one another. But do you allow yourself to be known? Do you allow yourself to be loved? But it also goes both ways. You know, and one can be a lot easier than the other. Serving in the campus ministry, it gives me the opportunity to really know a good amount of people. Gives me the opportunity to really love and pour my heart out for others. But sometimes, really oftentimes, I can struggle to allow myself to be known and loved. I can allow myself to have others in my life that are pouring into me. Because when we are known, it leaves the opportunity for us to be hurt. It leaves the opportunity for us to be left behind or disappointed, where things didn't go as we had planned. You know, maybe there's fear. What if they don't think I'm good enough? What if they really know the real me, they won't see me as worthy? But guys, the reality is, if we want to have these hesed relationships that God desires for us, these relationships that are filled with a steadfastness, a loyalty, an unfailing love, ones filled with mercy and grace, it starts with being known. And I look at David, and he's able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because he knows that his shepherd is with him. He trusts that God will intervene on his behalf and come to his rescue because he trusts that God knows him and loves him. But if you read through his life, it's also clear that David is known and loved by others around him as well. You know, there's several relationships that we can see. I think of his mighty men, the prophet Nathan and Jonathan. You know, the one who he made a covenant with out of his brotherly love for one another. They cared so deeply. Hesed, love. Who are the men or women in your life that you have these type of relationships with? You know, I want to challenge you, take some time this week and reflect on those relationships. Who are those people? Thank God for them. But I also want you to reach out to those people and thank them as well. Thank them for being with you through the valley, through the times where you just felt like, man, I don't know if I can get through this alone. And if you don't feel like you have those people in your life, spend some time thinking about who those people could be. Because we all need them. Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. And when we walk with him, following his lead, we are able to walk through the darkest valleys without fear, knowing that he is with us. That he knows us. That he loves us. But it isn't just Jesus that's with us. We have the flock, the body of believers, the body of Christ, who we are meant to walk alongside with. And so even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil, guys, because we know that we are never alone. Amen? Amen. That's all I got for us this morning.